So, all of you have succeeded. It has been a bit. Most of you collapsed due to injuries after being pulled through the portal. Some of you through exhaustion, and some of you through just sheer relief that it's over. As those of you who can stay standing, stay awake, see about the town, you are surrounded by soldiers, civilians. They're all looking at you with sheer amazement. As a young militia member, somebody who was brought in, who volunteered to help, he speaks up in the silence to you. Is it over? Is it dead? Are we free?
Trevor is just gonna kind of spit some blood. He's still standing, but only just barely. And he's gonna turn around and he's gonna look back at where that mountain used to be. And he's just gonna wait for like 5-10 seconds as he watches to make sure that some ungodly abomination doesn't just reach up from out of the ruins of the mountain.
Because why would that ever happen?
Yeah. And he's just gonna sigh, and he's going to just sit down, like, right there on the ground. He just kind of plops down. He sighs, and he's like, I think so. I think we actually fucking did it.
The moment you say that, the silence is broken by cheers, cries of relief. This country's suffering, this country's 300 years of suffering is over, and it is for those who have survived, for those who have been gathered in Runeswick, for those that are left from Trudec, begin to celebrate. The soldiers, they begin to celebrate for as much as they can, knowing that they still have a duty to ensure, but they start to celebrate. They don't have access to ale or lots of food, but that doesn't stop them. They parade amongst the streets, calling out for their heroes, celebrating and wishing to celebrate with each and every one of you, kind of pulling at you, kind of calling out for you, none really truly knowing your name. As Varkos kind of nudges Trevor, well, they don't know what to call you. They don't know your name. They don't know your group's part. They don't know your party's name, so they don't know who to truly put in the name of their heroes.
Tell them our name, I just whisper.
Yes, tell them your name.
Snickers.
He's just gonna kind of look around at the group. And he's like, I'm not using the fucking name for our group. And he...
Okay,
points so we need a Yeah, he points at Syphena. And he says, Syphena, High Priestess of Tenelith. Sif. Kane. Edmund. Zoe. And he looks at Varkos. And he says, Trevor.
Very well. As he booms out in a loud, echoing voice, assisted by Ilvasar with magic, he announces each of your names as your name through the streets. You can hear it for miles. It is on the tongue and the voice of every person in Runeswick.
I wonder what their name is. They don't have a name. What if we call them the nameless one?
That eventually is heard by Asif joking around, and then it is quickly spread as something that is fitting.
It would be fucking Asif too.
Nameless heroes showed up and did something for a place they didn't know, for people they didn't know. And they were nameless for so long. No one that was saved by them truly knew their names. Not anything comfortable anyways. And so the nameless ones does become your moniker.
Last of was I just witches.
And
meanwhile, I'm going to try to go to everybody, like, team, because you guys don't look too good, and I'm still almost full health. I'm like, I'm going to heal as much as I can.
You are assisted by pretty much every healer in the military and militia to heal them up so that you don't exhaust yourself, because your time of struggle in their eyes is over. They don't want you to be exhausted. They want you to rest. And with that, rest you do. Some of you may join the celebration for now. Some of you will head to sleep and get a good rest without needing to worry about waking up tomorrow to knowing you have to deal with some shit.
I was about to say, Ed is, as soon as he got done with the battle and his rage ended, he probably collapsed, and Ed's not doing good. He went down 5 times. So he's...
Ed is rushing to the
finally heard the bell.
Fucking tank.
The mountain collapsing was the bell. Yeah. You are taken to the infirmary, or the where the infirmary was set up, and you are cared for. But now, everyone, we're going to move over to the first parts of the interludes, which will be released in sections to all of you in different, maybe 2 episodes. These are 20-minute, at most, sections for each individual person to talk about what they've been doing in the month time that they have rested and not needed to rush into action, or have been preparing, in Sif's case, to go get his daughter. Because that is what he said to everyone. After this is over, I'm going to get my daughter. But he knows that he is not strong enough, and that show of force by the hag in the mountain was proof enough that he is not strong enough yet. So he asks and pulls Ilvasar aside. But first, we're going to skip to about a week later, and we're going to meet up with Kane. Kane, it has been a long week. A long week of restlessness. You are not used to just doing nothing. You're not used to sitting still. And neither is Lamia. Both of you are itching for combat. Both of you are itching for something. Your paranoia. And then the thoughts of Aster and the thoughts of that person that he was speaking to still grind at your brain, at your very psyche. Lamia suggests that you learn, you practice, you train. She says that you, or at least we should go into possibly that moment. Kane, it's been a week. You guys did well, I guess, but I'm kind of tired of you using my power. And seeing how you obviously don't have an urge to become a vampire lord by any means, nope. As much as I may have been trying to push you, there's a lot of easy targets around here. I mean, there's a lot of people who just don't belong to anyone that you could easily target, but you have been adamant that Alfric is the only one. So I'm gonna let up on that. But if I'm gonna let up on that, you need to learn how to use your actual power and not mine. I've been connected to you in your mind, your soul, for a while now. There's something there. And it would be a waste to not use it. I mean, your father, from what I've gathered, is the puppeteer. the master of manipulating beings, living and dead. Wouldn't it make sense that you would have something like that? I mean, you saw the strands on that one corpse before Trevor killed it. And then the fireball thing happened. And I understand I may have reacted a bit much, but...
Let's not mention the fireball incident too loudly.
I'm in your head. I don't have a physical form. And to be honest, while I'm giving you my power, I don't think I can absorb enough magic around me to do that.
Okay. So...
So you need to do something about yourself. You need to dig in. You need to find what kind of power you have. And you know that you're not just a damp here, so look for it. It's in there somewhere. I can help you pull it out, but I don't know if you would necessarily like that.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you... you don't like me manipulating you. You've made that abundantly clear a few days ago. And yes, I understand that I... Look, I'll still help you, but I still need you to help me. I understand that you don't want to eradicate the humans. I don't see any good, but to be honest, if your party had been around when I was alive still, maybe things would have been different. So maybe things can be different. I'm not going to say they are or they will be, but I'll back off the human and immortal annihilation for now.
That would be much appreciated.
For now. Tell your powerful enough.
We also need to talk about your jealousy issues.
Look. I'm a jealous person. I understand that. I never got a chance to work through it. But I'm not against Syphena anymore. And I understand that my manipulation of you in a romantic way won't work. Yeah, I tried. I honestly did. Honestly, I think I might be able to manipulate Trevor more than you. But Trevor doesn't use a bow, so... And I'm kind of stuck with you.
That would be because he's straight.
Wait, he doesn't use a bow because he's straight?
No.
I'm a woman,
no,
so...
No, he would be more easy for you to manipulate because he's straight.
So you're gay?
Yes.
I honestly thought you were bi, to be fair.
Arrows aren't the only pervert here.
No.
Well, that would make sense why my feminine wiles and manipulation hasn't worked at all, so... I will always remember that time that you applied that varnish. It was a good time.
I didn't realize that.
But, anyways, I can... We can go and practice. Maybe along the way we'll discover something, but... I'll keep my... My jealousy is mostly due to the control of your power, and where we are now somewhat have met a common ground of I help you, you help me in some way. I understand you don't want to annihilate the mortals, but at least we can get back the vengeance that is due to me, right?
We can do that.
Good.
Trevor might actually be really good at helping with that.
Then, as long as no, I will only, I'll tell you this. I will do my best to only be jealous and attack those who try to use your power for their own gain, because that's my job. Fair?
For the moment. We'll revisit this later.
I feel like this is as close as to a common ground we're going to get right now, because I can't change in a week. It's going to take time.
Well, like I said, we'll revisit this later.
What's on the docket for today? We've lazed around enough. We need to do something. And I think if we're going to train, we're going to need to get you some potions, something to get you, keep you going so that we can keep working on it. Because to be honest, your magic control is kind of shit.
I use all of two spells.
I'm aware, but for a vampire, your utter magic control over your body, your willpower, the nature around you is just terrible. Honestly, it's like watching... Well, it's like watching a child play with fire. It's something that you just like don't want them to do because it looks like they're doing it wrong and they're playing with it wrong and they're in danger. It's hard to watch, honestly. And that's with me controlling my power. So what if you used your own? So we're going to need to work on that, obviously.
I've never been assaulted so badly by a bow.
I'm a woman.
You're currently physically a bow.
I'm a woman and soul. Okay? All right? Look at the curves. You see this? I'm a recurve bow. I've got the curves, okay? I'm a woman. You treat me as such.
Yes, ma'am.
So, then, do you think there's a potion shop anywhere nearby? I mean, I know this place is still in ruin for the most part, but you think they might have set something up?
I can think of someone who might have set something up. Let's go see if we can find a shop with a blue roof.
A shop with a blue roof? Well, that would be... Oh, that's a weird choice of color. You don't forget, as you like leave...
Fire is a very weird man.
As you leave, Lamia goes, Kane, you're forgetting the money that you were paid.
Oh, shit.
As you walk back in and you grab the 2,000 gold coins, the 2,000 gold, which each of you were paid.
Right.
Yo.
You grab that and pick it up and you head off. Through traveling around the town, you kind of stumble upon a few places that have been ramshackled, made as living quarters, food quarters, all of, you know, everything that is needed to kind of keep people alive and healthy for the most part. And as you're walking the streets, you see someone familiar walking down the road as well. With you catch a familiar face, obviously you've been with them for this whole journey. And they look like they have been hard at work. Their hands kind of have a bit of like sores on them. They have their sleeves rolled up and they're carrying a duffel bag or some kind of bag that has like medical equipment in it. As you spot Syphena walking towards you, which makes sense because the infirmary is back that way where you're coming from. This is a moment where if Syphena and Kane would like to have a moment to discuss with each other something that they haven't quite had a chance to talk about since it happened.
Syphena doesn't notice him. She's been, ever since after the celebration, you know, she's been working. She's been helping in the infirmary and helping, you know, deactivate, making sure that the artifact was set, situated, and she hasn't taken any time really to rest and process anything. She's just been walking, so she doesn't even see Kane as she's walking toward him, I guess you said?
So. Yeah. It is almost as if you guys stay on the same track that you have been, you will bump into each other. Syphena clearly hasn't noticed you yet, Kane. If you would like to slip away, you can.
No. No.
Lamia, a bit of a sigh, and then a deep breath, and goes, as much as I don't really like her, just because she's so holier out than thou, you're making the right choice, Kane. You should probably talk to her.
He's gonna keep walking, sir. And once he gets close enough, he's just gonna kind of call out to her. Hey, you, you doing okay?
Oh, hi, Kane. Yeah, I'm just really busy, you know, trying to help everybody, you know, the infirmary. A lot of people have got to, you know, healing and, you know, yeah, it's just busy. How about you? How are you doing?
I got my ass ringed by my bow, so,
Oh?
That was not fun. How are you after the mountain?
I mean, she just looks at him. She's like, did you know Astor was still alive?
Dead. And I was going to tell you, but I thought it could wait until after the mountain.
How long have you known?
Above table, after the church.
It wasn't
even a whole day before we were teleported to the base of the mountain.
No, it wasn't a whole day, but all the way up until you saw Aster, it had been about 2 days.
I'd known for about two, three days.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes me feel a little bit better that I wasn't the only one who thought he was dead. How is he alive?
Beats me. To be completely honest, I have absolutely no clue. I was there when his heart stopped. So.
You know, I don't remember my last actual memory of him. Like, not in the alternative timeline, I guess we want to call it. Before that, like, before the attack, I don't remember my last interaction with him. And he died. I thought he died. Where my memories were altered, and I kind of want to pretend like those memories weren't real, but he died then. But he's not dead. And I don't know, Kane. It's really, really hard. So, yeah, that's how I'm doing. I'm just trying to stay busy because that's the easier thing to do right now.
That's understandable, but you should also get some rest. I know resting doesn't seem like a good idea right now with everything going on in your head, but it might actually help.
Yeah, maybe. You could tell that she has a lot she wants to say to Kane, and she doesn't even know where to start. So,
Lamina speaks up to Kane. We, as much as airing your dirty laundry in the streets is nice, for those who are watching, we should probably get going. Who knows when Sif will decide to head out to deal with the hag, and if you want to join him and assist him, we should probably work on getting you to use your own power.
Oh. Look, if you need to talk at some point in time, I'm here. But I do kind of have to go now.
Yeah, me too. Sorry, I didn't mean to keep you up, sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, so good luck with whatever you're doing. I'll be in infirmary. Don't hurt yourself. I don't want to see you there.
No promises.
Of course not.
As, Kane, you continue to walk on after saying your goodbyes. Lamia, after a little bit, goes, that was probably the most awkward I've ever seen you. Do you not know how to be nice and comforting?
No, I don't.
To be honest, I don't either. So that makes us more in common. That's great. We can't comfort each other. So, gonna need to hire a therapist. Well, and as you guys are kind of walking and she's kind of discussing with you, kind of more mocking you than really discussing you, discussing with you anything really important, you are just searching everywhere here and you're like, I can't find that blue roof. This would be an opportune time for him to possibly make a shop in this place so that he can make money off of people, but in the darkest of hour, but there's just no blue roof. So you eventually give up, head off into the woods, and as you are walking through the woods, you hear a crack off in the distance. As you turn your head, kind of shift yourself into position, as you're shifting yourself, you slam right into the wall. As you look, the shop is now dead in front of you.
Oh.
As the door creaks open, slender, emaciated, creepy little slimy creature known as Garrett pokes his head out. I feel like I was needed. The weave told me that someone wanted to purchase something.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna regret this so bad.
Don't get used to me showing up on command. I'm not no Nancy boy. But please, come in.
Kane will reluctantly follow Garrett into the shop.
As you're
the type of person to get kidnapped. Let me tell you that right now.
Kane totally is. He's just like, oh, someone needs help.
Oh, candy. Oh, shit, I'll get in the van. as you walk in, Garrett crawls across the floor, and now you see these two very slender and very old and very dirty and very worn out robes. Their hair is falling out and their skin is beginning to sag like an old avocado. As they turn and look at you, they kind of raise a hand. As you now somewhat recognize them as the two mages from before that you left inside Garrett's shop as Garrett's shop disappeared, are now look much like Garrett, slowly but surely. Oh, yes, they've been really helpful. I appreciate you giving them to me.
we didn't give them to
you. Well, you left them in my shop, and I don't have a return bin, so I keep what's left.
They're people.
People, souls, creatures, animals, trinkets, they're all the same to me. So what can I do for you?
I need potions of speed.
Oh boy. Well, I've got plenty of those, and I'm sure you remember the last meeting and the time before that. Mm-hmm. They're full price unless you desire to take a potion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got some really interesting ones that I've made. I've found a land off in the distance that seemed to grow some very weird things.
Yes.
So yeah. I've got three potions for you. I've got a blue one that seems a little explosive. At least that's how it was when I made it. As you look over, the one of them kind of like shrivels in at their arm as their arm is like patchworked back together.
Oh, babies.
Don't worry, they're easy to put back together, like a toy made of wood and a little glue here and there. And then I've got this yellow one. It's a little bit acidic. Only some of you will be melted away, I'm sure. At least some of him was only melted away. I still don't know what they do because their screamings wouldn't stop to tell me long enough. And then when I was done, they didn't seem to be able to say anything. Which is a downer for me. I like it when my test subjects survive.
Yeah, what's the third one?
Honestly, it's a bit of a clear one. I don't really know. Haven't tried that one yet. As he twitches, his left jaw dislocates as it hangs. He like grabs it and reattaches it. Sorry about that. I've been falling apart lately.
It's concerning.
Don't worry. I do it every few centuries.
Yeah, I'll take the real one.
Oh, very well. As you drink it, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and explain what happens as you become the opposite gender.
So Kane drinks the potion. He kind of looks down at himself. Potion doesn't seem to be doing anything. Like, okay, what the fuck? And then he proceeds to double over in pain. And red mist begins to seep from his skin until it completely envelops him. And from the mist, if anyone other than Garrett was here, they would hear the cracking of bones and the shifting of joints as his body begins to shrink and contort. After a few moments, the mist dissipates, and Kane is on the floor, and he stands up, but he is no longer a he, and he looks down at himself, looks at Garrett, looks back down at himself. What? Actual fuck.
You're out, you became an Emmy. You're a woman now. That is so useful. Oh, so many people will pay for this.
Is this permanent?
You let me know.
Oh.
Whatever deal's a deal, Kane. You can purchase potions at half off. Let's get to business. And with that, we pull away from Kane. And we move.
Fucking hell. Number two. Hell yeah.
Oh, Sophina's gonna be so confused. Like, he was just a guy a second ago.
Fuck.
You got a goth mommy now.
A goth mommy.
Shut the fuck up, Rat.
All right. We're hitting all the markers. We got the tentacles, we've got the furry, we've got the goth mommy, we've got the beef daddy. Yeah, we got everything going.
Shit.
The beef daddy. Holy shit.
So we're gonna pull now towards the next.
Hell yeah.
The next individual finishes their thing. The next person we're gonna pull to is about a week and a half later. We're gonna go and see what our local intruder into the midst of normal people is doing. Zoe. A week and a half later, what have you been up to?
After, I guess, taking the night to enjoy myself, I want to visit the child, I guess, the seed. I probably would continue to visit it daily, attempting to reach out to it, attempting to communicate.
Each visit, it is not something that you can quite communicate with yet, as it would be to speak to an unborn child. But each day you check on it, you see a familiarity, a connection, a bond growing between you two. You can see as it grows, its power is what is really growing first. Nothing from the perspective of visuals is changed with the egg, but the level of density that radiates around it in power is noticeable. And with each visit, that magic begins to grow and change in hue, almost as if the child is trying to copy yours.
Seeing this, I would even spend some nights to it, holding it if I was allowed to.
Almost you are like a hero. They would ensure that you are allowed access.
All right, the same way especially a mother holds their child. Kind of remembering how it communicated earlier, not telling it stories, but sharing, I guess, warm thoughts and pleasantries and
emotions.
Exactly. And whatnot. But during the day, one of the first things I want to do is revisit that ley line, where. What's his face is, I forgot his name. yeah, I'm not gonna remember it.
Alfric.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Alfric is now that the undead have been dealt with, has revisited that area and is currently still working on it. Though he is now returned to the members of the vampiric family. He is now a vampir once again.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm going to go down there to Under the Mines, and I'm going to go find him.
Very well. Hulk, your turn. You're up to communicate as Alfric once again. You have been working on the ley line, on the portal, and on the device. You have been working on ways to harness that magic and rebuild the artifact that was being used to, or the device that was being used to, almost control it. You've already mastered the control of the golems, as they are now assisting you in the manual heavy labor. You are doing what you can to almost create a generator powerful enough to power an entire nation. That is what Alfric is doing. And You have been left primarily alone, because that is where Alfric likes to do. He likes to work in his own space with his own thoughts. Though there are lots of soldiers and guards around you due to the fact that this town is now ruins. But you do get a visitor. Zoe has come to visit you.
The innate temptation to just run and hide is sequestered as he kind of turns and just goes, hey man, how you doing?
He looks differently now too, but probably worse. But I'm doing well. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
I've come for the use of this battery, so to speak. Can you show me to it?
I can, but can I ask why?
I need it.
Can he make an insight check?
Are you attempting to discover his motive, being it's almost an in, like a like it's getting a like, vibe off of
yeah,
him?
Yeah, trying to get a vibe whether it's like nefarious or if it's just
sure. Give me an insight check. There is no true nefarious means, though Zoe has always been ominous in his existence. His yeah. new form doesn't permit much to the comfortability of thoughts, but then again, you're not really one to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
But
he
there
looks different too now, doesn't he?
Pale. Yeah, he does. Pale, red eyes, sharp fangs, claws. Yeah.
Your biological allegiance beckons you to lead me to it. Now show me where it is.
All right. And he kind of walks, and you do see that Maggie has been rebuilt. So she kind of follows him along. Yeah, he will take you over there to it. Just kind of explaining what it does, how it works, how he's created it in the process.
And how does it work?
I would like you to discover that for me, Hulk.
So this is a battery that's trying to power a nation, correct?
Using raw magic.
You gotta put the transfusium, transfunction or whatever the fuck, in the capacitor.
Transformer?
In the capacitor. Yeah, whatever it is, something like that.
So what you would see in that case is basically what looks like the, what is it called? It's the realms. It's the map of the realms. But each realm is a sigil that is basically trying to create buffer. So what you see is basically this engine, and it moves with like almost pure solid gold bar, like kind of going around and just circling around this raw form energy. And you can see where there are still some spots that are like popping out every now and then, but he set up different runes and different sigils to kind of absorb energy for now. But you do see like there's a containment field, there's like all of these safety precautions in play, and he just basically all I do is take the energy and through this complicated formula system just kind of try to contain it till I can figure out how to control it and actually make it usable.
Very well. If you want to stay, you can, though I'm not sure your stomach could handle it.
I've gotten a little better.
Have you now? That's good to know. As his stomach maw is gonna open up, and kind of the tentacle tongue is gonna bring forth the. Nope,
he pukes immediately. Vomits all over the floor.
He's gonna present the artifact, and his back tentacles and all the fun goodness are gonna reach out and touch each of these glyphs that and runes that he sees. Fingers, like tentacle fingers, sprouting from them to touch each and every part of it in the sigil. As he creates more also for all the ones that he needs to connect to, as he basically turns himself into a battery or a jumper, like a car, and just shocks himself and the artifact with this magical energy.
Mm-hmm.
The second I see Zoe trying that, Alfric would like quickly like try to pull himself together and be like, "What? Whoa, whoa, whoa! What is happening to him?"
Well, you've never fully turned this on before. You've only kicked it on a little bit, given it a little bit of access, and that's why, you know, it still pops. It's almost as if Zoe is in turn a missing part as it begins to work perfectly. However,
he's a flux capacitor.
The magic flowing through into flowing through the generator does not return, almost as if it is being consumed by a black hole. Zoe, I'm sure this has some kind of effect on you.
Yes, as he is going to, I guess, gain a feature, his magical capacity itself grows. His body, I guess, burning away also from all this energy, is regrowing itself at the same time as it's erupting in flames and melting. But yeah, his magical capacity basically just grows, as well as, I assume, the artifact.
Alfred,
as you, yeah,
take
go ahead.
Note, he's at this point just curious as he's watching these kind of tentacles and disgusting abomination kind of making it work. He's sketching down everything, taking notes, and kind of trying to look at what the artifact.
As.
Can I see that?
Yeah, you can see it.
Don't get any funny ideas. If you were to use me or my kin for your project, for your own needs, I will find you. This is for me. As his face kind of morphs back into what he saw earlier that one time, into that cephalopodic, black, inky face filled with colorful beads of eyes like a spider as it looks into him. I don't think I'll cast like command or anything, but like he wants you to know that, basically.
Okay. He, hearing this, kind of steps back. Kind of cocks his head. Why do you need this? At this point, I'm just curious.
As he kind of comes down from this, regrowing his skin, and some of the extra tentacles are gonna just kind of seep back into it. He'll walk up to you, holding this artifact, kind of levitating it above his hands, still maw open everything. But he'll say, "That's a loaded question." But
you now see, real quick, you now see that the artifact, which was once entirely crystalline, like a crystalline eye shrunken down, has now some of its crystal on the interior has been altered into flesh.
Interesting. All to say that I have a goal. I have a responsibility. And I will do whatever it takes to uphold that.
He kind of breaks the spell for a second. Like, you could have just asked.
I could have, but I couldn't take that risk.
You are not of this world, are you?
Not particularly. I've only began dreaming recently. Before, he'll kind of even get comfortable and he'll cross his legs and kind of float in the air. Before, ever since I was a little one, the only dreams I had were of that, of memories of a very, very old being.
And with that, suddenly... Go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
I've seen the birth and death of worlds. I've seen this thing bathe in the sun. I've seen stars die, and I've seen beautifully horrific beings.
And with that, the artifact wakes up and forces upon Alfric a vision of the very thing Zoe is explaining. You see, in darkness, planes of existence ceasing to be created. They are not yet made. Divine light floating endlessly in black, while the black pulsates like flesh, creatures crawling along this pulsation. A mixture of source essence and eldritch creation. You watch as a forge of light rips pieces of this mass of fleshy darkness and uses it to hammer out planes of existence, worlds, with the very core of this flesh melded into it. Beings pulled from the flesh, crawling amongst the planets, crossed the land itself in times before man or mortal existed, finding home, solace, and responsibility. Alfric watches the creation of worlds from the source of creation, using that of the Eldritch Elder Ones to make each plane of existence and each world within it. And the rightful place that the Elder Gods and the Elder Beings and the Eldritch Creatures that come from those gods have to play on the world. It is enough to melt minds. It is enough to fry your very thoughts. And so, when the vision fades, Alfric collapses, his mind pulsating in pain. And Zoe, you know what has just been done. He has been shown the very thing that you explained, thanks to the artifact.
He's gonna kind of lean over and kind of float above him, kind of caressing his face, and look you in the eyes and say, "When you see something so beautiful, you are never, ever the same."
An idea pops into your mind, even amongst the pain. Living matter is needed for creation in its truest form. Your generator's missing living matter.
You're going down a dark path, and I know I made fun of your character's name.
And Eldritch secrets have been bestowed upon Alfric. Ways of creation.
And he's gonna lean in also to like next to his ear and say, "And now you forever belong to us." And he floats away.
We had to fuck with Alfric one last time, everyone.
So wait.
I'm gonna fight you. He belongs to me.
So two things.
I'm sorry.
Wait, I said fucking us. What?
Us. He, us.
Okay.
He belongs to us. You are part of us.
Number one, Pat, that's going straight to Ilvazar. Number two. Yep. Number two. Would Kane know all of that?
I don't think
he's coming for Kane next.
Kane does not know that yet, no.
Okay, so me being linked to him would not have transferred that?
Not, no. The artifact has the power to block off minds. It's the only way to truly give you that level of that level of knowledge.
And honestly, he would tell Ilvazar, I know how to make the generator work.
This is like the start to dark.
But we can't do it!
Big brother error!
Will Alfric seek a moral choice or seek the child that is of matter, living matter, that is very
that's
powerful?
That's what I'm worried about. That's why I'm going to choose the child. Can I actually sense this? I actually might have to kill him.
You brought this to an artificer. An artificer's just gonna say, just give me.
That's true.
I'm gonna say that at this current moment, you're not sure the distance he may go, but you can understand that the way he looked at how you performed the perfect connection, he may attempt some kind of living connection, but you did make it very apparent, don't touch or use your kin in any way.
Yes, I.
And with this knowledge, he would sense the connection of kinship that the child has with you, and probably would not want to fuck with it.
At that point,
the shit he saw.
the second that I find that out is when he starts looking for alternatives, and more than likely will try. Oh shit!
Well,
flesh
we'll
can
have
be
to
put on the golems, right?
Flesh can be put on the golems. But the flesh itself has to be living.
He's the next
couch. The flesh itself has to be living.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, and with that, everyone, we wrap up our first and end of our, the first, we wrap up the first of our interludes where we tell a bit about what's been going on. And I just have to say that was a perfect ending of the first interludes. Next, we'll be doing Edmund, Syphena, Trevor, and Sif. See you all next time. Bye-bye.
I'm gonna make an abomination.